Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family, and welcome to Us Lifting Us, Dare to Win radio broadcast on Thursdays, and we're glad to have you and to hear you on the radio. A couple of questions to start us off. One, can a cooperative economy save our planet? Two, why is Us Lifting Us the best means for Black self-determination and African sovereignty? Three, why is Cafe Ulu critically important in this historical moment? We're going to discuss these questions and more on this evening broadcast. Stay tuned, don't go away, and we'll give you information on how you can join the conversation in just a minute. Welcome, sisters and brothers, to Dare to Win, Us Lifting Us Thursday evening radio broadcast. My name is Brother Kimbizi, one of the founding board members of Us Lifting Us. I'm joined this evening by Baba Hekima, elder advisor and founding board member of Us Lifting Us as well. You can be a part of tonight's conversation. Call 929-477-2789. And press the number 1 on your phone, and we'll open your line. Also, we invite you to our website, usliftingus.com. That's USLIFTINGUS.com. Visit us and get a full description of Us Lifting Us. Join us Make a donation. Become a part of the movement for economic empowerment. Tonight, we are asking the question, why is cooperative economy important for Black people who are trying to control their economic and political destiny? And what's the big deal about Cafe Ulu, Us Lifting Us's first business enterprise, internet cafe and coffee lounge in Atlanta, Georgia? I'm joined tonight by Baba Hekima, who, as I said earlier, is an elder advisor and founding board member of Us Lifting Us. Baba Hekima, how do you feel tonight?
I'm doing great, brother. Good to hear your voice, and always good to join the family on Thursday evenings. And, of course, it's a rainy night in Georgia, but we're going to stay away from the raindrops and contribute to the discussion this evening.
Well, to get us started, as we asked, you know, why is a cooperative economy important for Black people who are trying to control their economic and political destiny? And why is Cafe Ulu such a significant accomplishment? Help our listening audience to understand where we're coming from, Baba Hekima.
Okay. Well, thank you for the question. Let's go over the questions again and be clear what we're asking. Repeat the questions.
Well, the basic question is, why is a cooperative economy important, and how does that help Black people gain economic and political control of their destiny?
First of all, of course, as we know, as we look globally, the current economic models are in stress. Some say that there are systemic crises occurring, and that there is simply no recovery from that. So one of the best arguments for a cooperative economy is how it affects not only Black people but the planet. I think most of us realize that the current economic models come out of a worldview or a mindset associated with a thought of scarcity, of a thought, a belief that the planet does not provide for all of its inhabitants all that are needed for survival. And so there is, in recent history and currently, of course, fierce competition for resources. In other words, the survival of the fittest. I got mine, and you better get yours, and this whole notion of rugged individualism as well. And, of course, that is a false assumption. The planet is and always has been providing for all of its inhabitants in abundance. And so we happen to be in a warped situation where rather than our thinkers and planners, especially in terms of economic systems, coming from a worldview or a mindset of abundance, we come from that at the economic systems from the mindset of scarcity and competition, as opposed to what really is the situation. Now, as it relates to us as African people in America, in the West, and in the world, then certainly we're no different than everybody on the planet in terms of our basic needs. And so in the current situation, nations, the United Nations, regional organizations and institutions all across the planet are experimenting with new economies. There are various names for them, economic democracy, and you may remember some of the terms. But
circular economy.
Circular economy. And we sum it up in our term of Ujamaa, and we say family-centered economics. Now, most nations in the world have statutes, legal statutes, that allow for cooperative societies. And in recent years, there has been a call for planning that would bring these cooperative societies and ventures into a more prominent role as it relates to the overall economy. And so I guess in general, what I would say in terms of how it relates to us, most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that the current economic model does not serve us well. In Atlanta, we did a survey a couple of months ago, and we concluded that there were roughly 140,000 black-owned businesses in and around Atlanta. And we may think of communities where maybe there are 50 or 100 or 200 or 500 black-owned businesses and enterprises. So we do not have economic and political self-determination in Georgia, in spite of the fact that we have hundreds of thousands of black-owned businesses. And the same is true in communities where there are fewer. In other words, it really does not add up that hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of black-owned businesses owned by persons and small groups doing their own thing, independent of each other, could ever equate to power and self-determination. So what we're suggesting in ULU is that we add something else to the equation, that we also consider the advantages and the benefits of a group-owned, mutually owned, cooperatively owned business platform and structure or infrastructure alongside of what we've always done. Of course, in the current environment, there is very little central planning. You have around the country a few black chambers of commerce, and in the cities you have, in business districts, you have business associations for this street or that neighborhood. And you have probably some national black chambers of commerce, but they're very small in terms of their impact and influence. And so essentially, even in the black community where we focus on opening and running businesses and supporting those businesses, by default, we end up being controlled and our energies channeled by the local chambers of commerce, the banking community, the regional planning bodies. And so we simply get caught in the flow of the dominant economic system and their design. And so what a cooperative economy that is owned by us, and the businesses and institutions that are part of that being owned by us, it forces us to do central planning, to do forecasting. And as we grow it to become large scale, then it provides for us a tool, a platform, a kind of a machinery that we've never had, such that we can begin to plug in our institutions, our churches, our universities, our sororities, our lodges, our business association, our professional associations, and begin to do some critical thinking in terms of the economic moves that we need to make, looking at, quote-unquote, the black community and those areas of economic activity that we could have meaningful involvement with, and in some cases have dominant presence. And so it provides for us a tool and a mechanism that we otherwise would not have. And in summation, We say, and we're going to be talking about it a little bit later in the broadcast, we talk about the clear choice. We either control the economics of our own community or forever be at the mercy of others. And so the cooperative economy and what we call family-centered economics gives us then the wherewithal, the tools, the exact method for beginning to not only plan, but to build out the new black economy.
Thank you, Baba Hakima. That gives us a lot to think about. I hear you making the argument that what we're really talking about is creating our own economic environment, creating our own court, so to speak, where we control and we're making the decisions and we're controlling the action, so to speak. And what I hear you saying is that this cooperative platform allows us to control the $1.3 trillion that flows through our hands on an annual basis. How does before I ask the next question, I just want to remind our listeners that you can join the conversation, make a comment, ask a question. Dial 929-477-2789 on your phone, and then press the number 1. That's like you're raising your hand, and we'll see you, and we'll open your line and allow you to raise a question or make a comment. You have a lot of callers on the line, so feel free to jump into the conversation and make a contribution to what's being talked about. So Baba Hakima, what you're really saying is a very bold move for us. Rather than being locked into a game that is controlled by others, that does not give us the opportunity to reap the full benefit of our economic activity, us lifting us is arguing for creating our own economic sphere, so to speak, where we can begin to exercise the full strength of our economic potential. So how does the various enterprises that this co-op sets up, how does that all come to play? For example, Cafe Ulu, which Us Lifting Us opened up in February of just this year.
Yes, and if I could just fall back for a moment, we should have learned, and I think we have learned, we just haven't admitted it to ourselves, that there is no such thing as political self-determination or social self-determination without economic self-determination. We've learned that.
That's a very important statement, Baba Hakima. Can say that again.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that goes right over our heads. Run that by us one more time.
There is no such thing as social freedom, emancipation, independence, decolonization, anything that we as haven't arrived socially and politically if it does not also include economic self-determination. South Africa should have taught us that. Ghana should have taught us that. Every experience that we've ever had where we made political strides, and in most cases, in almost every case we can point to, we left the economy in the hands of those that had dominated us before. And the real levers of power are in the economic arena, not in the political arena. And we know that. We've learned that. But I think to some extent we're lazy and we're not willing to ask ourselves the critical question, how do we format our economic activity so that it is not 100%, but progressively more and more under our control. That's how you liberate yourself. You liberate yourself by taking those productive forces and capacities and owning them and controlling them and use them to support your way of life, to wean yourself off of domination and control by other economic and political forces in the world. And so where we are today, and I think the real value of us lifting us economic development cooperative is that we are, ULU is forcing us to come face to face with the reality that, yes, we can elect a governor. Yes, we can elect a mayor. Yes, we can elect a president. Yes, we can have a brother or sister at the head of the UN. But if at the base of our societies and communities, if we do not dominate the commercial activities in our community, then by default, that activity is dominated by others. And because of the relevant position of economics to the life of any community, then we end up being dominated. And not only dominated economically, but as you point out very often, Brother Kimbizi, the cultural dynamics of economic activity and the value proposition, we end up not only having to go to other folk for our basic needs, our food, clothing, and shelter, but we suffer in other ways culturally and spiritually because we're subservient to more than we realize. I hope I didn't take us off track there. But,
No. It's interesting. You draw a very important comparison or parallel, if you will. You remind us that Ghana, for example, and most of the African countries, and certainly we saw it in South Africa, they got what we call flag independence, but because they don't control the economics of their country, they weren't able to deliver the full social goods that the people anticipated. And just like that was happening on the African continent, we here in the United States succeeded in electing black mayors and black state congresspersons and representatives and even black representatives in the federal government. But similarly, the economics in our community are still controlled by other forces. And so you kind of slap us in the face with that reality. In other words, it's something that we've been in denial about. But now you're saying it's time that we stop teasing ourselves and get serious about building machinery and economic machinery that will begin to move us towards economic self-determination. Am I hearing you correctly?
Yes, I mean, we can't really emphasize that enough. And yes, our culture is entrepreneurial. We are helping young people go into business for themselves, and we want to support them. And in many cases, we are becoming entrepreneurs because we don't have a choice, because jobs are not there, so we're forced to hustle. And we go down and get a business license, we hang out our shingle, and in many cases, we're worse off than if we were on a job and with a boss, because we've actually hired a tyrant for our boss ourselves. But anyway, that's an aside. But yes, I am suggesting, and I guess the elephant in the room is that we cannot be serious about a discussion of economic empowerment when you do not also talk about the group ownership of the economy. That is a discussion that has to be had.
Mm.
You know, in Atlanta, we have, let's say, Tyler Perry. Let's say he's a billionaire. if we had 100 or 1,000 Tyler Perrys in Atlanta, it wouldn't make a difference.
Now, that's hard to imagine.
Yeah, it's for a few individuals. Yeah, there will be a few more jobs created. But that is not a group-owned economy. That is an individually-owned economy, a model that's in peril.
Mm-hmm.
What we have in America is an economy where some people earn 4, 5, 6, 7, and 800 times more in a corporation at one level than you earn at another level. Income disparity. And the divide between the haves and the have-not is widening. So this economy is in trouble. And if the economy is in trouble, you know we're in trouble. So what I'm suggesting that every organization, every institution that enters a discussion about economic empowerment, and if at the forefront of that discussion is not group ownership, a cooperative culture, then we're doing ourselves a disservice. We're pretending like what we have done in the past worked. It hasn't.
Mm,
it
that's
hasn't.
So true.
Few exceptions. We talk about Black Wall Street. We talk about Haiti. We talk about Sweet Auburn. But those days of stark segregation and those days are gone. You cannot reconstruct a Black Wall Street today without the glue of group ownership being in place. It just cannot happen. And so I guess what I'm saying in summation is that not only do we do ourselves a disservice, but we do our youth and future generations a disservice by pretending that just by creating another businessman or businesswoman, that's going to make a difference. It will never
make a
difference.
You know, and which puts into even clearer focus for me, Baba Hekima, is you talk about building the machinery and developing the productive forces. Those are terms that don't necessarily mean much to many of us, but really, when we talk about something as specific and particular as Cafe Ulu, not only is it a group-owned business that the community owns collectively, it really is one of the means of production. It begins to move us collectively into economic ownership of the economy. Do you want to say something about the significance of Cafe Ulu?
Yes, yes, yes. And for those of us who are looking at Cafe Ulu, and if the listeners haven't looked at it, it has its own website, cafeulu.com. Cafe Ulu is an experiment, so to speak. It's a proof of
prototype.
or prototype. And so what we are offering to the community is a laboratory, a clear expression of group ownership. And I had a discussion with a brother, a couple of brothers out of the New York area, very powerful discussion about Cafe Ulu as opposed to some other kind of business model. And I really didn't have the words to say it then, but I do now. I lived for a few years in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and at that time it was the beer capital of the world. And in all over the town, you can find corners where there's a tavern on every corner, four corners, four taverns, in some cases more than four taverns. And in many cases, the people who associated with one tavern would never go in the other taverns, even though they were just across the street. What I'm saying to you is that we're learning that Cafe Ulu, in addition to provide needed goods and service, food and beverages, creating jobs. There are 5 employees at Cafe Ulu, and then another service provider that's on a consistent basis. And providers of goods and products that are also from our community. We're not into profit yet, so that's going to be a benefit. But the social benefit of a facility where we can come into the space and know that the space belongs to not only us, but hundreds and potentially thousands of other brothers and sisters, and where we can come and sit and have discussions and build relationships, that is a value that sometimes we minimize, and I don't want us to minimize it. As we begin to build out, we may find that it's necessary to have a Cafe Ulu beside the manufacturing plant that we own, or beside something else that we own, because we're going to diversify. But yeah, the importance of Cafe Ulu is taking the argument to another level. We can say that we need businesses that are owned by the group. We need businesses that are co-ops. At some point, you got to move beyond the discussion and actually put it in practice. Put the clear example in space. We used to say real estate as opposed to spook estate. So it's real. It's tangible. It's there. And people are enjoying it. And, of course, we need to wrap our arms around it and build it stronger and have it on a solid footing so that it can support itself. But Cafe Ulu is just an extension of our argument, an extension of what it is that we're offering our community. We really, I think and I'm doubling back on what I said a little earlier, what the product, the primary product of us lifting us economic development cooperative is an exact method by which and through which we gain economic control of our local communities.
Mm.
Again, an exact method. In other words, we have a few steps. Fundamentally, there are five. But we have a few steps or a few elements of a master plan that when we focus on them, bring them into an alignment with each other, what is produced is an exact method that you can follow in every community and produce the same results, incrementally gaining greater and greater control of the economic activity of that local community. And, of course, you join those local communities one to the other so that there's a synergy in terms of a region or a country or region of the planet. So, but yes, the value of Cafe Ulu is that it takes the discussion off the legal pad or off the desktop, and it puts it into a creative space where people can walk into it. They can experience it. They can go and tell other people about it, bring other people to it, and then prepare themselves to duplicate and expand. So
okay.
That's the value of Cafe Ulu, in addition to the tangible results you see on a day-to-day basis in terms of the jobs, the economic activity. But it's a prototype.
Okay. We're coming up on a break, Baba Hekima. When we come back, we will look at how Cafe Ulu provides goods and services, creates jobs, stimulates more businesses, and yields a fair profit. Stay with us. And we're back. If you're just tuning in, this is Dare to Win, Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC's Thursday night weekly broadcast. To get into the conversation, call 929-477-2789 and press the number 1 on your phone. We'll see your hand and open your phone line. Baba Hekima, we've been discussing why Cafe Ulu is really a big deal. In the Ulu, or the Us Lifting Us 10-point appeal and plan, point number 6 says, the cooperative focuses on opening and operating businesses in local communities that, one, provide needed goods and services, create new jobs, stimulate additional business activity, and, four, yields a fair profit. Does Cafe Ulu do all of this or have the potential to do this?
Yes, it has the good potential to do all of those and more. I would ask our audience to think, just imagine with me, a community that you're familiar with that's typically called, quote-unquote, the black community or the hood. Think of the proliferation of Ulu-owned businesses in that area. Think of 25 businesses, 50 businesses, 100 businesses. They may be automobile repair shops, dry cleaners, any number of types of businesses, hotels, banks, you name it, any kind of businesses. And not all of them will be started from scratch by Ulu. Ulu will acquire some of the businesses. I dare say that in time, most of the businesses that we own may be acquired, purchased from previous owners, and some of them already with a positive cash flow. But imagine an area that's saturated with Ulu-owned businesses, and then Ulu-owned businesses working in tandem with independently owned businesses and enterprises, and in some cases there being a transactional relationship with them. The benefit of that kind of saturation and penetration in a particular geographic area is that, especially when some of the households in that community are owners, some of the institutions are owners, some of the other businesses are owners, the benefit to be derived is awesome. And in a word, it begins to talk about dignity. What does it mean for a young person to walk in a neighborhood and they know with certainty that we dominate the economic activity in this area? Now, we may not dominate the economic activity all over the city, but at least here, this is our turf. I suggest to you that the psychological health of that individual and the community begins to change. And you also are in a position to begin to exercise a little muscle and authority so that you can impact policy. You may be even able to influence the behavior of some of the elements that normally come in our community and terrorize our people. The school system certainly can be impacted. So in addition to creating jobs, providing needed goods and services to stimulate the economic activity in the community through relationships and with other businesses as product providers or purveyors or service providers. And, of course, when each Ulu business matures and begins to produce a surplus, part of that surplus is dedicated to charity and endowment. So the Ulu businesses will actually fund in the area where they are located some of the charity, some of the support, some of the nonprofits. But also, a portion of the surplus goes back to the members. And so what would it mean then if the households, some of the households in that neighborhood actually got a dividend check or a direct rebate from the successful business activity of the businesses that are group owned in their community? It's a whole nother dynamic. It's a whole nother dimension of planning, of strategy, of thought as it relates to economic activity. And we've got to have that discussion. Or, based on what we say is the clear choice, is just be satisfied. Just sit down and take your suffering and take it like they used to tell us when we took castor oil, you know, just go ahead and take it, you know. But obviously we don't want to put our people in that position. So the benefits of us doing what we know we need to do are immeasurable. And I suggest, Brother Kimbizi, it's not a question of whether we know we need to take control of the economics of our community. We just haven't figured out how to do it. And to the extent that ULU has spent all of its time from inception to helping us answer that question, that is the value of ULU and ULU-owned businesses, is that we have made a great contribution in formatting that answer. But, yeah, Cafe ULU is has the potential to meet all of those expectations that you read in the point that you just read, but even more. And it's important to understand that Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative is an umbrella kind of mechanism. The co-op is all of our members, our close to 500 members in the world, individuals, married couples, and institutions, including other co-ops, other businesses, other associations. Now, as the parent or the primary co-op, Cafe ULU is a secondary co-op. It's a co-op business that's owned by the primary co-op business. We intend to have hundreds and eventually thousands of secondary co-ops, independent, running, functioning businesses that are owned by all of us. And then we'll begin to create some businesses that will service those businesses. One of the things that this is, and hopefully the family will allow me to do this, I used to service a company, Mead Paper Company, and most of us know Mead from tablets and spiral-bound notebooks and office supplies, for instance. But most of us didn't know that Mead, you touch Mead every day. When you pick up a six-pack of beer, you pick up a Coca, almost everything that's in paper packaging, that's grouped in paper packaging, is Mead or another of those conglomerates. But they don't have to advertise to the public because it's business to business. So you'll see us begin to create businesses that service our existing businesses. So I just want to paint a large-scale, multinational, billion-dollar business enterprise that is group-owned, but not only group-owned in a cooperative, but is owned by African people. That is a refreshing thought, and the only thing stopping us is our own hesitation. There's not anything in the real world that's stopping us from having dominion. And so I know I went far afield, and I apologize.
That was right on point. And
yeah.
a very inspiring vision. Sisters and brothers, I need you to get paper and pen in hand right now. And this is whether you're in Atlanta or Denver or Virginia or even in Ireland. The address for Cafe ULU is 2036 Sylvan Road, Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to give that again. 2036 Sylvan Road, Atlanta, Georgia. Now, here's what we're asking you to do.
The zip code, too.
What's the 303-10?
That's right.
Or 11. So here's what we'd want you to do. For those of you that travel periodically into Atlanta, we want you to put Cafe Ulu on your agenda, on your itinerary. Sometime while you're in Atlanta, before you head back out to the airport, swing by 2036 Sylvan Road, Atlanta, Georgia, and stop in at Cafe Ulu. For those of us in the metropolitan Atlanta area, put Cafe Ulu as a regular weekly stop on your agenda. Figure out the best day of the week to roll through and make it a point every week, a couple of times a week, make a stop in at Cafe Ulu. Baba Hekima mentioned earlier that we want to put our arms around Cafe Ulu because this is it's our child, and it needs our support. So, Baba Hekima, do you want to say anything more about making sure that our members make this a regular stop on their movements around the city?
I do. And we can order coffee by the bag. We feature coffee from the Cameroons, from Ethiopia, from Tanzania, and you may find coffees from other places, from our people. Order the coffee by the bag, either whole bean or ground, from our website. And to order 10 bags, 5 bags, whatever you can afford, and keep stock of the coffee. It's good, and so that's another way to support it. And we just sent out an announcement today. We're going to be having at Cafe Ulu on a weekly basis what we call the Clear Choice, the Ulu Plan. 11 o'clock a.m., we're going to be discussing the Ulu Plan. And as those of us in attendance, we're going to go through an exercise of constructing the model. I mean, it's already constructed, but it's not just enough to tell a person and go through the details. But when we go through an exercise of constructing it on the spot, it becomes more vivid. And actually, Brother Kimbizi, we have put it. I hear the music.
We're coming up on a quick break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll be talking about how you can become a member of this movement for economic self-determination. Don't go anywhere.
Everything is everything. Everything is everything. What you're meant to be will be. Wow. After winter, after winter, must come spring. Must come spring. Change it comes eventually.
Radio broadcast. I'm Brother Kimbizi, joined by Baba Hekima. and we're discussing the absolute and vital importance of a cooperative economy for black people. Baba Hekima, how does a person or family or organization become a member of ULU?
By going to our website, which is the easiest way, and clicking on the tab from our homepage, membership, and filling out the application, submitting it. There are three things that has to occur: the submission of the application, the payment of the membership fee, which is $50, and then we schedule an interview, a discussion, to make sure, to the best of our ability, that you really do understand what you're doing. Because when you become a member of ULU, essentially what you're doing is becoming an equal partner in a limited liability company. We choose the term member, but it's also a partner in a business enterprise. ULU is a business and not just a social organization or movement organization. I don't know if you can have the time to get to it. I saw someone raise their hand, but maybe you saw it, and obviously we may not have time. But if a person does not choose to fill out an application online, when you click membership, you'll have the option of printing out an application, fill it out, put a check or money order in the mail, and mail it in to the address shown. But I just want to encourage – go ahead.
I was going to say, as soon as you finish that sentence, we'll listen to the caller on the last four digits, 1816. So finish your sentence, Baba Hekima, and then we'll take the comment or the question.
Well, I was just saying, just make sure that you be serious about your decision to join ULU. It's not a social group. It's a much greater and impactful decision that you're making, and make it with some seriousness and soberness. Thank you.
Caller 1816, your line is open. You have a question or you want to make a comment. Go ahead, please.
Greetings. This is Sister Ikena in Stone Mountain, I'm one of the ULU members. I have a comment, and it really follows up very well to what you were speaking on, Baba Hekima, in terms of it not being just a social place. You know, we had our grand opening April the 14th, and I'm in there as one of the workers several times a week. And what I'm observing is that it is a destination place. That's a term that I heard Baba Kambisi use. It is a destination place, which is a wonderful thing for us in the community, someplace where we feel welcome, where it just vibrates with our energy. And in addition to that, what I'm noticing is the number of entrepreneurs who are magnetized to the space and the conversation corners that are happening around economic empowerment and community building, along with political awareness and cultural consciousness. And all of that, to me, that synthesis is what we are giving to the community as ULU. You know, particularly I'm impressed with the number of entrepreneurs who are coming in, and they are very interested in the model, the ULU model of cooperative economics. So, you know, it's only been a few months. Like I said, April 14th was the grand opening, the big launching day for us. And if the number of people that we are witnessing that are scheduling their meetings to happen there, that are just really associating with one another from across the room in the cafe and saying, look, yes, we need to do more than just have our individual entrepreneurial enterprises going. We need to do what this ULU model is about. So I'm really excited about the Saturday Clear Choice presentations, because we're getting a lot of inquiries and people now know a way to go from theory and conversation and into the real application. That's part of that excitement when they come in get the coffee. That's our business side. Yes, purchase the products. But the other part is where the long-term development comes in, when the visions are uniting. And so I just wanted to say that that is what we're seeing inside the cafe on a daily basis. And when you go now, we do have a online calendar of events on the website, cafeulu.com, and you click the events tab. We are endeavoring to keep that up to date with the conversation corners that are happening. People are booking that space, to share the information on what their business is about, and now we're being able to link it to the bigger picture of what is the cooperative movement, the cooperative business, and how do they become part of ULU.
Sis, would you let the family know about the art wall? What's that about?
Yes. At Cafe ULU, we have a community art wall, which every 7 weeks an artist is invited to put up their display of works. And these are works, again, that reflect who we are as the us lifting up community, that send a positive message, and really that gives exposure to the artists and also to the people, us, wherever we may be in the world. And so currently the exhibit that just went up, it is the works of Brother Tafawa, and it's photographs from the continent, everyday life images. And as I said, we just completed 7 weeks with Baba Ra Fudge, Ahriman Fudge, and his work, which was eco art and ancestral art, beautiful works that were there. And any artists from the neighborhood and from our ULU family that would like their work considered, they can stop in, look at the current exhibition, and talk to us about going up when this comes down. They stay up for 7 weeks, and it's a wonderful, just a wonderful enhancement of the atmosphere at Cafe ULU. So we're really thankful for that component.
Thank you.
Sister Akina, thank you so much for your call in and for sharing that information and your spirit that is inspirational in terms of what Cafe ULU is doing and what it means for all of us. And so, Baba Hekima, we have just a couple of minutes, maybe 2 minutes left. Do you want to say some closing words about becoming a member of Us Lifting Us and take us out?
Yeah, I'm going to take some liberty here, and I'm going to say to everyone who's on this call, if you're not an ULU member and you don't become an ULU member very shortly, I'd like to really get you in the back alley somewhere and really, really question what you're thinking. Well, not really a back alley. But if we're talking about economic self-determination, or political self-determination, freedom, liberation, Pan-African, whatever we're talking about, if we're talking about moving from where we are to a safer place in terms of the conditions for our people, we must have a serious conversation around group economics, cooperative economics. And right now, at this moment, ULU is leading that discussion in the African world. Most of the other discussions are about individually centered economics. So I just encourage us to seriously look at becoming an ULU member, and we need you, and we look forward to seeing your name on the turtle list. Take care, family.
Family, we'll see everybody next Thursday, 9 o'clock, same time, same station. Have a blessed week, and we'll do it all again next week.
Make me recall my days in the New Jerusalem.
You know,
story starts in Hooterville. Grew up next to Ivy Hill when kids were stealing Carterville's fun. Killed a guy in Carter Park. Rode a mongoose, steal a dog. Watching kids show off the stolen one. Every ghetto.
at the burger place I've been. Make me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got.
Cooperative, which is what we talk about every Thursday night, different aspects of cooperative economics. This one was focused more on cafe. Ooh, you'll have to come with me over there one day.
Where is it?
It's on Sylvan Road.
Where is that?
Over there off of, where is Sylvan? Near East Point.
Oh, chat.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah.